యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన
జమునాదీరావనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ 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 హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 రే హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే జయ ప్రభు పద జయ ప్రభు పద జయ ప్రభు పద జయ ప్రభు పద నితాయ గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమత భైచరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి జగద్గురు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। व्रज भूमि वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद न्यू द्वारका धाम की जय। ग्रंथ राशि मत भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri, Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवद्योत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto number 3, chapter number 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, and text 14. Please repeat. Shashwat Swarupa Mahasaiva Nipita Bheda Mohaya Bodhadishanaya नमः। परस्मै विश्वोद्भव स्थिति लयेषु निमित्त लीला रासाय ते नमः। इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शश्वत स्वरूप महसैव निपीत भेद शश्वत स्वरूप महसैव निपीत भेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः। परस्मै मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः। परस्मै विश्वोद्भव स्थिति लयेषु निमित्त लीला विश्वोद्भव स्थिति लयेषु निमित्त लीला रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय। रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शश्वत्स्वरूप महसैव निपीत भेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै विश्वोद्भवस्थितिलयेषु निमित्तलीला रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शश्वत्स्वरूपमहसैव निपीतभेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै विश्वोद्भवस्थितिलयेषु निमित्तलीला रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शश्वत्स्वरूपमहसैव निपीतभेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै नमो इदं चक्रमेश्वराय त्स्वरूपमहसैव निपीतभेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शश्वत्स्वरूपमहसैव निपीतभेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै विश्वोद्भवस्थितिलयेषु निमित्तलीला रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय माताजी शश्वत्स्वरूपमहसैव निपीतभेद मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै विश्वोद्भवस्थितिलयेषु निमित्तलीला रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय स्वरूपमहसैव निमित्तलीला मोहाय बोधधिषणाय नमः परस्मै विश्वोद्भवस्थितिलयेषु रासायते नम इदं चक्रमेश्वराय शाश्वत इटर्नली स्वरूप ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म महसा बाय द ग्लोरीज एव सर्टनली निपीत डिस्टिंग्विश्ड भेद differentiation, mohaya, unto the illusory conception, bodha, self-knowledge, dhishanaya, intelligence, namaha, obeisances, parasmai, unto the transcendence, vishwa udbhava, creation of the cosmic manifestation, sthiti, maintenance, layeshu, also destruction, nimitta, for the matter of, leela, by such pastimes, rasaya, for enjoyment, te, unto you, namaha, obeisances, idam, this, chakrama, do I perform, ishwaraya, unto the supreme. The translation and purport by Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottara Shatashrim Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada. The translation by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my obeisances unto the supreme transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by his internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto him who by his pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord is eternally distinguished from the living entities by his internal potency, although he is also understood in his impersonal feature by self-realized intelligence. Devotees of the Lord, therefore, offer all respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. The word ras is significant here. In the ras dance is performed by Lord Krishna in the company of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. And the personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, is also engaged in ras enjoyment with his external potency, by which he creates, maintains, and dissolves the entire material manifestation. Indirectly, Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who is factually ever engaged in ras enjoyment with the gopis, as confirmed in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad in the following words. Parardhante so buddhyata gopavesho me purusha purastat avir babhuva. The distinction between the Lord and the living entities is definitely experienced when there is sufficient intelligence to understand his internal potency as distinguished from the external potency by which he makes possible the material manifestation. Om Ajnanati Mirandasi Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Chashvat Swarupa Mahasaiva Nipita Bheda Mohaya Bodharishanaya Nama Parasmai Vishwad Bhavastiti Layeshu Nimitta Lila Rasayate Namai Dam Chakrameshwaraya. Sri Prabhupada's translation is, let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him who by His pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So here we see how Lord Brahma is face to face with Lord Vishnu. And now he is describing Lord Vishnu is also engaged in Ras Leela, not just Krishna. So he is looking at Lord Vishnu, but he is remembering Lord Krishna. Because Ras word, as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, it goes with Krishna. Ras Leela, the Ras dance is performed by Krishna. So he is seeing Lord Vishnu, but remembering Lord Krishna, because both are technically the same personalities. So here, Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that the devotees of the Lord, they even offer all respectful obeisances to the impersonal feature of the Lord. Usually, devotees are not very keen to, they don't get attracted to impersonal feature of the Lord. Actually, it's heartbreaking even to imagine that God has no face, no feature, no form. But the devotee's vision is that the impersonal, the Brahman effulgence or the Brahman is also coming from Krishna. So when a devotee sees Brahman or thinks of Brahman, he thinks of Krishna. So the vision of the devotee should be so mature that they, whatever they see, they should be able to relate to Krishna. So devotees see that, okay, even the Brahman effulgence, the devotees, they offer their respectful obeisances. Srila Prabhupada describes how the whole world can be categorized into three very crude categories. One is those, the living entities who are only trying to enjoy the material energy of Krishna, the external energy. Those foolish rascals and rogues, they just want to enjoy Lord's property because everything belongs to Krishna. If you ask someone that if somebody is taking one mango from your plate, what are you going to say? Hey, what are you doing? It's my plate. It doesn't belong to you. Why are you taking from my plate and you are almost putting in the mouth? It's my property. Who told you? Who gave you the right? You know, some people get so mad that even if someone is coming close to their driveway and like, hey, that's my driveway. What are you doing in my property? So there is so much of me and mine. Imagine a donkey walking, you know, in the farmer's market. Donkey doesn't care. You know, doesn't care. There are so many nice fresh vegetables that the farmers have brought and they're about to sell. You know, they're like, they're fresh carrots and mangoes, bananas, different apples. And the donkey is like, wow, beautiful, nice, heavenly place. Like, so much to enjoy here. Donkey doesn't care who grew it, who, you know, who brought it here, and who is working so hard to get the stuff sold out. The farmer is doing so much work, the shopkeeper. But donkey goes, he opens his mouth, and he's about to eat one carrot. But what happens? The shopkeeper sees it, and immediately he takes a stick and gives a spank to the donkey. And then the donkey realizes, oh, I made a mistake. And then the donkey is crying so badly. So this example actually tells that that donkey is nobody else than all those people who are trying to enjoy God's resources. Because this world, we did not create it. Even any smallest of thing, an apple, you're trying to enjoy, but before enjoying, is it something you created? Is it something that you actually manufactured in a laboratory, or did you actually create something that you can enjoy? No, it belongs to Krishna. So the first person who should enjoy this particular fruit is Krishna. That's why Krishna says that whatever you eat, whatever you perform, what all the activities, yat karosi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva mad arpanam. Krishna is telling a proper etiquette. Just like that shopkeeper is like telling the donkey, hey, mind your own business, it's not your property. But if you are nice and if you are respectful, then the shopkeeper may say, okay, you know, this donkey is hungry, okay, I give you one. Okay, go in the side and eat. So Krishna is telling a proper etiquette that whatever activities you perform, whatever foodstuffs you are eating, whatever sacrifices you are performing, and whatever charity work you are doing, everything do in the spirit of an offering for me. That is Krishna's teaching, the etiquette to all the humanity. So Srila Prabhupada describes that those foolish people who are only trying to enjoy the different fruits of the material creation, they are foolish. Their thinking is that this world has come out of coincidence. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishwaram. So they say that this world, asatyam, this is unreal world, and apratishtam, there is no foundation as such for this world. And that's their mentality. And aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. They say that this world, everything that is there has come in existence because of the lust has brought it, the, you know, man and woman come together and they produce. So the sex desire has produced this world, and what is the purpose of the creation of this entire world is kama hetukam, is ultimately to enjoy the senses, is for my enjoyment. Just like there was Charvak Muni who gave the philosophy that he says that who has seen future? Yavat jivet sukham jivet. As long as you are living, live very happily, peacefully. Runam krutva ghritam pibet. If you have to borrow, steal or do whatever, but make sure you drink enough ghee. Even if you have to borrow. Because bhasmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. Once the body is gone, once the body is bhasmi bhuta, once the body has become ashes, then there is no coming back. So, as long as you are here, enjoy as much as you can. So one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, at that time when Prabhupada quoted this, he said, Prabhupada, such a ridiculous philosophy. How come the person who gave such a ridiculous, you know, only sense gratificatory process, we still call him Charvak Muni, Charvak Rishi? How it is possible that from India, a person is giving such kind of bogus philosophy? So Srila Prabhupada smiled and he said that because he was from India, he said, runam krutva ghritam pibet. He is advising people to drink ghee. But if it was somebody else from somewhere else, he may say that eat as much as meat. You know, runam krutva chikanam. You know, chabet, whatever. So, Srila Prabhupada said that even the worst of the philosophies, they are still having little bit of, you know, intelligence. They have the little decency not to kill somebody else or not to come in somebody else's quota. Not to kill someone for one's own sense gratification. So, Srila Prabhupada describes the second category of people who are pious You know, the first category is only the sense gratificatory people who only want to enjoy their senses, who don't care about God. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, such living entities are gliding towards hellish planets because they don't care about anything about spiritual world or anything about spiritual processes. They do not care about God. So such people are only gliding to hellish planets. Srila Prabhupada describes the people who are above them, the second category. Srila Prabhupada says, those people who are pious, but they are impersonal. They have the conception of impersonalism. Impersonalism is disguised, it can be seen as a disguised atheism. Because people say that God is energy. There is no form, there is no quality for God. His supreme absolute truth is formless. Like there is no senseless and there is no personality. So, if you ask such person, did your father have a personality? Yes. And how about your grandfather? Does he have personality? Did he have a personality? Of course, yes. What about your great-grandfather? Did he have a personality? Or he was just air? Or he was just some sound? So they say, no, of course he had a personality. We have a picture in the home. And how about your great-great-great-grandfather? Yes, he was a person, we know. And then how about when we go all the way on top, how about the Supreme Father, the Supreme Absolute Truth, God? Does he have personality? No. He does not have personality. It doesn't make any sense. So that is, in one sense, we are saying that God is great, that this category of people, they accept God is great. But he is energy. He doesn't have a form. He doesn't have any senses. And he's not a person. It's a disguised atheism. Why? Because it's like saying that Bhrigupati Prabhu, he's an amazing person. He does so much book distribution. Oh, you must meet him. He's amazing. Like if somebody is glorifying Bhrigupati Prabhu, oh, he's great, he's great. But where is he? Oh, no. He can't be seen. Oh, really? Then how does he look? No. There is like no feature. He doesn't have legs, no hands, doesn't have a face. Like he can be seen. He's great. He's the greatest. But nobody can see him. So in one sense, I'm glorifying. At the same time, I'm saying that, oh, he doesn't exist. So it's also atheism in disguised form. So Srila Prabhupada says such people are also foolish. Some of them are innocently foolish, but in large sense, if we see that impersonalism ultimately leads to atheism, and such people, they deny the existence of the personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada, he says, God is a person, and he is not just a person, he is supreme person. He is not just beautiful, he is supremely beautiful. He is not just compassionate, he is supremely compassionate. And all the qualities that we see in the world that we get attracted to, Krishna has those qualities in unlimited abundance. So Srila Prabhupada says that if we realize God in his most absolute, highest form as Krishna, then we see the God as in the real form. Then only we have realized who God is. That's the highest perfectional stage. So the devotees of Krishna, they realize this fact that Krishna or God is a person. So impersonalism is not the origin of everything. But a person is the origin from whom impersonal aspects come. For example, if there is a fan and you feel the air and you feel so nice. Oh, the air is coming and I feel so nice. But the air is coming. Where is the origin of the air? The fan. And the fan has a form. Just like, for example, one more example could be like there are some kids outside. They're screaming and shouting and it is disturbing to our class. What are we going to say? That, oh, there are some kids outside. Can someone go and stop them? Or are we going to say that, oh, there is some energy, some, you know, formless energy outside that is making the sound? No. Sound is not the origin. The sound comes from a person. And all the impersonal features, they come ultimately from the personal feature. So the personalism is the origin of impersonalism. So impersonalism comes from personalism that Srila Prabhupada described. And here in the further, in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada describes that the highest absolute realization of God as a person is when someone understands Krishna performing Rasa Leela. In Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada gives this beautiful verse where it says, Paradhante sobdhaya gopa vesho me purusha purastada avir babhuta avir babhuva. Gopal Tapani Upanishad is very beautiful. It describes in detail how Krishna as Gopijana Vallabha is the highest realization. So in Gopal Tapani Upanishad it is mentioned that if someone has not realized Krishna as the Lord and Master of the Gopis, Gopi Jana Vallabha, then until that point, your realization is not complete. Until you understand that Krishna's aspect as He is the Lord and Master of all the Gopis. Because even today, people criticize Krishna. They say, we like Krishna from Mahabharata. We like Krishna in Vrindavan as a baby Krishna. But when Krishna grew up a little bit, he became too naughty. And, you know, he performs dance with all the gopis and that is too much. It's shameful. We cannot accept Krishna performing Ras Leela. But we accept Krishna in Mahabharata. He is good Krishna, good boy Krishna. He speaks nice words in the form of Bhagavad Gita. He follows all the etiquettes and also he's smart. We like all that. But when Krishna as, you know, ultimate dancer and performing Ras Leela, we don't want to hear it. So in this regard, Kavi Karnapur, he mentions how Ras Leela is considered the highest and the topmost realization of for all the devotees of Krishna. Unless and until one has understood Ras Leela, your spiritual conquest to understand Krishna is incomplete. So Kavi Karnapur says, how one can understand Ras Leela is just by understanding its transcendental nature. How Adbhut Leela it is. First, let's go into that. So Kavi Karnapur says, first of all, Krishna played the flute to summon the gopis. And the gopis did not come in hundreds or thousands. Or even not in millions. Gopis came, how many, you know, there were 10,000 crore gopis came. Like if it was like a bhulila, like a common, you know, normal, ordinary personality, you know, calling some girls, you know, out. Just imagine 10,000 crore. That means 100 billion. That's the number. 100 billion gopis came. Now, just looking at that number, an ordinary person will faint. He's like, this is too much. It's beyond my capacity. First thing. The second thing, those 100 billion gopis, they form 100 groups. Each group had 1 billion gopi. 1 billion gopis, 100 groups, 100 billion gopis. And Krishna has expanded himself in such a fashion that He was with each and every single gopi. Krishna was dancing with each and every one of them. And each and every one of them thought, Krishna is only dancing with me. He is so nice and he is making me feel so special that all the gopis must be feeling jealous that why this gopi gets all the nice treatment. But all the gopis were getting the same type of treatment and they were feeling so special. And Krishna is performing that dance with everyone. So Kavi Karnapur says there are four reasons why Krishna performed this dance. And how this is not some ordinary activity. So first he says four reasons is, first one is he wanted to remove the ego of Madan. The Kamdev, the demigod in charge of the sexual attraction between man and woman, he was very puffed up because, you know, Lord Brahma also was attracted by this desire. And Lord Shiva also was, you know, a little bit affected. When Madan went and with his arrow, Lord Shiva did not feel lusty, but he felt anger. And he, you know, opened his third eye and there was a lot of chaos. He burned the body of Madan. So this Madan was very puffed up. Even Narad Muni, there is one pastime in one of the Puranas that he was also a little bit... He also had little ego and the Madan was affecting him. So he was so feeling proud that I have defeated everyone. You know, the greatest of demigods, Brahma, Shiva and all the Indra. You know, Indra is like my puppet. Every now and then I can do so much mischief with Indra. So Madan was feeling very egoistic. And just to reduce and cut him off, Krishna decided that I'm going to subdue him and I'm going to make him humble. When this Kamdev came and he started challenging Brahma, Shiva and all the other demigods, they said, you go to Kamyavan, you're feeling very puffed up, right? We know one person who can deal with you, that his name is Krishna. You go to Kamyavan. So Madan came and he saw that one person is with so many gopis, like everywhere he saw gopis. Ito gopis, parato gopis, yato yato vyami, tato gopis. Like ito narsimha, parato narsimha, yato yato vyami, tato narsimha. He saw gopis everywhere. And he started thinking that who this person is. He must be like full of lust. He is beyond my understanding. I cannot even imagine how can be this one person dancing with so many gopis. I have never seen Indra, Brahma or even any demigod perform this kind of leela. He was almost about to faint just by looking everywhere. And he is seeing that this person is dancing alone with all of them. Now what happened is in the Ras Leela, as we know, all the gopis were getting such a special treatment and Krishna is dancing only with each one of them particularly. And everyone is thinking, I am special than the others. So there are two things that happened within Ras Leela. The first thing that happened was all the gopis started to feel a little bit of ego. They started to feel a little bit of self-obsessed that, oh, Krishna is only attracted to me. That means I am special. And they had this ego that was false ego that was popping up. And Krishna wanted to subdue that as well. That was the first thing. And second thing that happened is Srimati Radharani started to think that Krishna is treating me on the equal platform as all the gopis. I'm not the same. I am Radha. You know, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man, Dui Vastu Bhed Nai Shastra Praman. So he has to understand that who I am. So Radharani had Man and all the gopis had Aham. So that's what happened, and Krishna wanted to satisfy both of them. Krishna wanted to subdue the aham of all the gopis because Krishna cannot tolerate any tinge of ego within the heart of his devotees. So Krishna wanted to subdue the aham of the gopis and satisfy man of Radharani. Because Radharani started to think, I should be given extra special treatment. So what Krishna did, he left all the gopis. And Madan is watching all this. This Kamdev is watching all the things. And now he's thinking, now this person is so lusty, he's going to commit some act of lust and I'm going to shoot arrow. He was shooting the arrows, but Krishna was unaffected. Rather, Krishna left the arena of the Ras Leela. Krishna left and Madan fell from Machan because he couldn't affect Krishna, he could not make Krishna agitated. So that was the first reason, according to Kavi Karnapur. Second one was that Krishna wanted to test his Murali. He wanted to test the power of Murali. So when Krishna played the flute, all the gopis got their own message separately. Usually, if you call someone, if I call Acharya Narottam, I'm going to talk only with you. But when Krishna had the murli, when he was playing the flute, each and every gopi got a special message only for her. So Chitra heard that Krishna is calling me at this particular spot in Kamyavan. And Vishakha heard, hey Vishakha, I'm waiting for you under this tree in Kamyavan. So all the 100 billion gopis, they heard different messages customized for them that attracted their hearts there. So Krishna wanted to test the power of his murali. Third one, Krishna wanted to embrace all the gopis with his own hands. In one time, he wanted to embrace all the gopis. And that was the third one. And fourth one, all the gopis, they have been worshipping Katyayani. And they were worshipping the demigoddess. That, please, Katyayani is one form of Durga Devi. And they were praying that, let this Krishna be my husband. That is our prayer. And they would worship every day, go to the temple of Katyayani and worship. And say that, please make this Krishna as our husband. That's our only, one and only desire. So Krishna wanted to fulfill that desire as well. So all these different aspects were fulfilled in the form of Ras Leela. And in this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, in his book Krishna Sandarbha, he says that all these gopis are none other than Krishna's different expansions. Krishna Purna Shakti, Radha Purna Shakti. So Radharani is the origin of the Shakti Tattva. And from her, all different expansions come, who become all the different gopis. So Jiva Goswami Pad, he quotes Brahma Samhita. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhram Sevya Manam. So Jiva Goswami Pad says, where there is there any pastime of Krishna and Lakshmi Devi? Is there any pastime where you see that there are hundreds and millions of Lakshmi Sahasra Shata? So many Lakshmis are worshipping Krishna and serving Krishna. Is there any pastime? So Jiva Goswami Pad says that this Ras Leela is the actual reference. That's what Lord Brahma is referring when he says Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhram. In Gopal Tapani Upanishad also there is a reference which says Gopi Jana Avidya Kala Prerataha. That means all these different gopis, they are to be understood as Krishna's own different kalas, different reflections, different expansions of Srimati Radharani. So in that sense, this entire Ras Leela that happened is not mundane. It's actually a very transcendental pastime where Krishna is playing with his own reflections. It's like a child playing with his own shadow or reflections. So Krishna's Ras Leela dance has not a single tinge of lust. It's only Atma dancing with Paramatma. So Srila Jiva Goswami Pad describes in that fashion as well. And he says that whoever understands Ras Leela in its proper context, whoever goes to Ras Panchodhyaya and understands Ras Leela, his life will be perfected and he will join Ras Leela after quitting this body. But then Kavi Karnapur also says that this Ras Leela is to be understood only in a proper fashion. Meaning that you should start from Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. So according to Kavi Karnapur, Srimad Bhagavatam is divided into two parts. One is Ras Panchodhyaya, the five chapters of Ras Leela. And then second part of Srimad Bhagavatam is all other verses. So there are two parts of Srimad Bhagavatam which is divided. First part is all the other verses except Ras Leela which prepare you to enter Ras Leela. So he says one should completely understand, assimilate the knowledge given by all the other verses and then one should understand Ras Leela which is completely pure and which is beyond one's understanding if one does not try to understand with proper mood and proper etiquette and hearing from a pure Vaishnava only. Then only we can understand. And here in this particular verse, this ras enjoyment, Lord Brahma is connecting with Lord Vishnu. Now this Lord Vishnu is also performing ras, but along with external energy of Krishna. External energy meaning all the dead matter. So he is also having his own ras leela, but in the form of creation, maintenance and dissolution. So Krishna is eternally enjoying, no matter where he is. Like no matter whether he is in Golok Vrindavan performing Ras Leela, or even in the material world in the form of Lord Vishnu, he is always enjoying the Ras enjoyment. So that's what Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes to all of us. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question, Bhrigupati Prabhu, we can...
Thank you. Amazing class. So if an ordinary person happened to be at the place where Krishna was performing his Ras Leela, what to speak of understanding it? Would he even see it? Would you even see it? Because one reason I ask that is that...
Today, like if we go there...
Yeah. Say you went, you happened to be at the place and Krishna's there performing his Ras Leela. What to speak of understanding it? Would an ordinary person even see it? But one thought that came to my mind is that, you know, you mentioned about it was done with 100 billion gopis. I mean, according to the figures today, there's 7 billion people on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Earth. And this is one place, you know, one spot.
Yeah.
100 billion, how could you even fit 100 billion people there?
Yeah.
So, once again, the question, would an ordinary person, what to speak of understanding it, would even perceive it at all?
Actually, there is a very little small... somebody asked Prabhupada about this also, that how it is possible to understand. And Prabhupada said, we cannot understand because we are using material mind and intelligence to understand the spiritual subject matter. You know, it's very hard to understand. And Kavi Karnapur is beginning with that only. The beginning is, it's Achintya Leela in the sense 100 billion gopis are coming in Vrindavan. Like if you see today's Vrindavan is 84 miles. Basically like the entire 84 miles. So how is it even possible to fit so many gopis? And it's Achintya in one sense. And if we see there is relativity of time. Time is relative. For example, for me, it's just, I just woke up and it's like, you know, maybe four hours have passed. If you go to the life of a fly, if just imagine when I woke up today, a fly was born. And right now I'm going to eat breakfast and if I go and check back, he already has kids now. And by the evening time, I'm chanting Gayatri Mantra, all his relatives are already performing his Shraddha ceremony. So you see how, what the relativity of time. For me, time is slow. But for this little guy, the time is very fast. The same happens with us and Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma is chanting his Gayatri Mantra in the beginning, we're all like so many, just while chanting, so many living entities are born, they're getting married, they're already being grandfathers and they're dying. So that's the relativity of time. There is also relativity of space. Meaning, space is also very relative. Meaning, like, if you go in some jungle and lift a rock, you'll find like a million ants under it. And there are millions more different tiny organisms that we don't see. But there are so many living entities just under one rock. They're fitted in that fashion. And here in this room, we're like only 30, 40 people. So there's a relativity of space also. And if you combine this, spiritual world is full of this relativity. If we understand in that aspect, it is also said that Krishna only opened the doors of the spiritual world. The Ras Leela is when Krishna lifts the curtain and then he lets, you know, all the gopis enjoy with him, And in that sense, we can say that, okay, this is beyond our understanding. Krishna can fit so many billions of gopis in one small tiny place in Vrindavan. And they all were dancing peacefully. It's not that they were hitting each other and they were like, hey, you dance in your place, you know, why are you coming in my area? No, there was no collision, there was no stepping on each other, there was no cussing, there was no problem at all. Everything was happy. So it's very Achintya Leela in that sense. It's Acharya Narottam
Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very wonderful, beautiful, beautiful class. So you were saying that unless we get to the understanding and realization of Rasa Leela, our Krishna consciousness conquers is incomplete. So what about devotees who have realized Krishna in the mood of Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras? So that means that their realization of Krishna is incomplete?
How we can understand this from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Rupa Goswami Pad says that all different living entities have a particular rasa with Krishna, and which is the best and ultimate for him. Like, you cannot tell Hanuman the glories of Ras Leela. You cannot go and tell Prahlad Maharaj the glories of Yashoda Maya, how Yashoda Maya. I mean, you can tell, but he cannot, he will appreciate, but he cannot experience. He can appreciate, like we all appreciate Radharani. We all appreciate Rukmini Devi's love for Dwarkadish. We all appreciate how Yashoda Maya is treating Krishna. We love that and we love to hear. We appreciate and we receive, derive pleasure in appreciating that. But we cannot experience that love for Krishna because we are not in that mood and we are not in that rasa. So what Rupa Goswami Pad says, that we start from Shantaras, you know, from understanding the glories of Krishna, His majesty, and being in awe of Krishna's greatness. Then those devotees who perfect Shantaras, they go further into the Dasyaras. And they want to, naturally, if you know somebody is so great, you want to serve that person. So then they enter Dasyaras. But some devotees, their Swarupa Avastha is Dasyaras only. They don't want to go further. So Rupa Goswami Pad says that don't push them. Don't push them forward because that's their eternal Swarupa Avastha. For example, Hanuman, he, one time Lord Ram Chandra embraces Hanuman and he feels like, no, that's like, what are you doing? You can't do that. I'm a Das. So Lord Ramachandra still embraces him. So he likes it, but he still wants to be on the Dasya platform. So Rupa Goswami Pad says that those who go further, they go in the friendship. Because after serving so much, there is natural good relationship between Krishna and the devotee. So after friendship, some want to take care of Krishna. They want to, you know, their love in friendship becomes so mature that now they want to take care of Krishna. So that becomes Vatsalya Rasa. But some devotees don't want to even think about that. They're like, no, Krishna is my friend. Tumi ami sama. Tumi ki bada loke, tumi ami sama. That's the definition of fraternal relationship with Krishna. That means you and me are equal, Krishna. We are friends. I don't want to be superior to you. I don't want to grow bigger than you. So those devotees say bye-bye to any other rasa. They like, okay, because that's their eternal spiritual swarupa avastha. And then the same way, you know, those who are in Vatsalya Rasa, they go forward. There is Madhurya Rasa, and then Swakiya and Parkiya, and then Parkiya highest platform is Bhav, Mahabhav, and that. So we understand in that fashion. So Rupa Goswami says, do not push them. According to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, what the Upanishad is saying. First of all, Gopal Tapani Upanishad is written for sannyasis. It's not written for like anyone else, or it's not written for people who are living in Vaikuntha. So it's not written for people in the Shantaras. They are in Vaikuntha. It is not written for the people who are living in Dwarka, you know, Ayodhya, Mathura. The devotee is in already fraternal relationship. So it's not written for them. So Gopal Tapani Upanishad is written for sannyasis. And there it says that sannyasis are striving hard to get ultimate spiritual realization. And then Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that Gopijana Avidya Kala Prerataha. The complete understanding of Shri Krishna's personality is when a sannyasi or any spiritual practitioner understands Krishna as the lover and the beloved of the gopis. When Krishna is realized as Gopinath, Gopijana Vallabh, then that is the ultimate understanding of Krishna. It's basically that's the idea. The sannyasis are striving hard to understand Krishna. So that's where the ultimate understanding of Krishna is. Yeah, but that's... Yeah. Yeah. Just like we try to understand the love between Radha and Krishna and we appreciate it so much. But we cannot ever experience, because Mahabhav is only for Srimati Radharani. We can experience Bhav, but Mahabhava Swarupini Shri Radha Thakurani Sarva Guna Khani Krishna Kanta Shiromani. So Mahabhav is experienced by only Srimati Radharani. But we can understand, we can appreciate, and we can be like, wow, Radharani is so great. We cannot even like, we become more humble and we just want to serve her more. That's the reason behind even going into these topics, so we understand how great are the gopis. So we understand how great are the gopis and what to speak of the crest jewel of all the gopis, Sri Radhika. That's done.
So Hanuman, you mentioned Hanuman. So Hanuman, he can understand, he's in Dasha, right? Servant. So he would understand about the Rasalila, but he would not feel that he could enter into it, but being inspired by that, he would just try to become a better servant. That's his rasa, service, right? So he would, understanding the underlying principle of the Rasalila, which is Krishna, you lead, I'll follow. So being inspired, understanding that underlying principle, he would aspire and try to become a better dasharas bhakta. Would that be correct understanding?
Yeah. Because that's all he wants.
That's all he wants.
And that's where his real pleasure is. Like here, his real rasa is in dasya mood. For example, there is one more example it's coming to my mind. Whenever Lakshman, he was trying to take off the different thorns and pebbles from Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet, Lord Ramachandra would say, no, you can't do that. Because once I give shelter to anyone at my lotus feet, I never reject them. Be it pebble or be it piece of glass that is poking my lotus feet, but don't remove. Then he goes to Mother Sita. So now what we understand is when something is beyond your rasa, then you go and surrender to somebody who shares higher rasa with the Supreme Lord. And in the case of the different munis, they were there, which Lord Ramachandra met, and all those different rishis and munis, they saw how intimately Mother Sita is serving Lord Ramachandra. So they also had the desire that, oh, we also want to serve you in the same fashion, in that intimate fashion. But then Lord Ramachandra says that in this lifetime, I have taken the vow that I'll marry only once. But in the next life, in the next time when I come as Lord Krishna, I'll fulfill your desires. That means those rishis, they were already, they are gopiganas. From their spiritual swarupa is in the form of gopis. That's why they had that desire. Otherwise, Hanuman could have said any time to Lord Ramachandra. Because Lord Ramachandra, he asked when he killed Ravan, and he said that, my dear Hanuman, I owe my entire life to you. Nobody has done this kind of service that you have done. So you ask me whatever you want. If you say, I want Vaikuntha, I'll give you entire Vaikuntha planet. Everything. I don't mind. You just ask me what you want. But then what was Hanuman's response? He just says that, oh my dear Lord Ramachandra, let me utter your holy names for the rest of the eternity. That's my only desire. I want to only chant your holy names. Let me never forget you. And let me always serve you. So that was his only. He could have asked, just like the rishis. The rishis were shamelessly asking that, oh, we want to serve you just like Mother Sita does. Why? Because they have that inclination because of their swarup is in that direction.
Is it a misunderstanding then for a devotee to desire to become a gopi? Should a devotee, based upon what you just said, should a devotee just be desiring to achieve his swarup siddhi, you know, one's own constitutional position? That's it. Why? It sounds like from what you're saying that it's a misunderstanding to desire to become a gopi. We should just desire to achieve swarup siddhi and whatever rasa we happen to be.
Yeah. There are two things I'll tell you. Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says exact same thing. He says, you perform devotional service very intensely. You know, akamo sarvakamo va mokshakamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha prama. That verse he quotes and he says, tivrena bhakti yogena. One should perform tivra sadhana. One should perform devotional service intensely, by which you will be elevated higher and higher and higher into the rasa of Krishna. But when your real rasa is achieved, when you achieve your swarupa avastha, then you automatically stop. You don't want it. You don't have to tell Krishna, or you don't have to artificially try to get somebody else's rasa. So, see, Krishna never said that you try to become a gopi. Not Krishna says that we are only servants of gopis. Gopi bhartur pada kamalayor das das dasano das. So our desire is only to be servant of the gopis. So you could be anybody. Everybody is servant of the gopis. Trying to be a gopi is also mayavad. Just like we're trying to be Krishna, you cannot be Krishna, right? Unless and until it's your position, unless and until if you are, and even if you are, you don't disclose it to the world. So it's supposed to be only between you and Krishna.
First, I'd like to say, who's ever holding the other microphone? When you're not speaking on it.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that para dharma bhayavaha. One should follow one's own nature.
Okay, so
do not take somebody else's nature. For example, I can see, I like Savas Prabhu so much. He has such a good sadhana. He comes on morning time, you know, every day he's there for Mangalarti and he's there and he's very strict. So I can aspire to be like him. But I cannot say I want to be like, you know, be Savas Prabhu. We can't because it's different people.
Okay,
and
okay.
Also, you know, different natures. So gopi is actually a type of rasa and it's a nature. So one cannot become gopi unless you already have that swarupa.
Okay, here's my question. I agree. Okay, so my question is this. So how do we understand that Lord Chaitanya came and specifically says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where is he? He knows this verse. That Lord Chaitanya came to give that rasa. So what's the why? Why is he bothering
which
everybody?
Which one? Which rasa?
What's the verse in Ananda Kirtan?
Raga marga bhakti loke karite prachar. So okay, Lord Chaitanya came, prema rasa niryasa karite aswadan. First he wanted to taste the love of different raga and anuraga of all the devotees. And prema rasa niryasa karite aswadan, raga marga bhakti loke karite prachar.
So yeah, why is he trying to give to everybody? Because not everybody's...
He's giving the rasa of Vrindavan.
Okay.
That means he has come to distribute Madhurya rasa. Madhurya is also seen as love for Krishna. Like, you know, Raga Bhakti. He has come...
My question, what if I'm just a Shanta Bhakta? He's wasting his time on me.
See, Raga Bhakti is basically also... Raga means spontaneous attraction. So one day Hanuman would get up and like, okay, I want to serve Lord Ramachandra in this fashion. That's his rag. Raga bhakti is just spontaneous attraction. It doesn't mean only gopi bhav.
Okay.
So raga bhakti is performed by dasya, sakhya, vatsalya,
madhurya. So he's giving raga bhakti, raga not bhakti. Necessarily madhurya bhakti.
Madhurya bhakti is also the same. Idea is the same. Madhurya basically, it means like intense and immense love for Krishna. So we cannot say that Krishna's boy friends, the gopas, they are not in Madhurya bhakti. No, this Madhurya bhakti only. This Madhurya, ultimately Vrindavan bhakti is Madhurya bhakti only.
Now I'm confused. Because I always thought that Madhurya meant, you know, that conjugal rasa.
There are two meanings of Madhurya rasa. Madhurya rasa is one meaning given is the loving pastime, loving relationship with Krishna. That means you pass dasya, you know, end of dasya and sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. All these different pastimes are also Madhurya rasa. And second meaning is Madhurya rasa means only conjugal. Conjugal meaning that you see Krishna as a lover, and that means you have to be in the body of a female. So, you know, that's second meaning. But specifically to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is giving raga bhakti. If we only focus on that verse, raga marga bhakti loke karita pracharam. That means he is freely distributing the raga bhakti, which is almost impossible to be achieved. It's like, it's not given. Raga bhakti, somebody has to spend millions and millions of lifetimes. And then one slowly starts to achieve the raga for Krishna. So that is almost impossible to be achieved. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely distributing that raga bhakti that is, you know, not even available in Vaikuntha. So, beyond Vaikuntha, raga begins. So, that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mercifully distributing to each one of us.
Uh-huh.
So, that's the glory of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Is that, I like that explanation. Did you just kind of think that up, or is that something you read someplace? Or
which one?
Can you just explain that there's two different ways to understand Madhurya?
No, that's in that.
It's like raga.
Raga bhakti is like, see, there is Vaidhi bhakti. See, there is Vaidhi.
Just the mood, the particular mood, spontaneous mood of service, or can be referring to the relationship. And you're making the point that in this case, it's referring to the mood. If somebody has that mood of spontaneously desiring to serve, like Hanuman, that's Madhurya Ras. But it's Madhurya Ras in the sense that it's raga bhakti.
Yeah, raga bhakti, basically idea of raga means spontaneous attraction.
Yeah.
Vaidhi bhakti cannot be spontaneous. Vaidhi bhakti means 4:30 you have to be here and greet the deities. Exactly 7:15 we start Guru Puja. And every day you have to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, follow Guru, and that's the Vaidhi bhakti. And this is the Vaidhi bhakti is the base of raga bhakti.
Okay.
So when one spends millions and millions of lifetimes performing Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana, then by Krishna's mercy that devotee is elevated from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raga Bhakti. So what Raga Bhakti means is, usually suppose 9 o'clock is the offering time, but you know Sanatan Goswami, he is thinking that right now I want to go to Govardhan Parikrama. Or that's his rag, because that's his spontaneous attraction. And the deity Madan Mohan is saying to Sanatan Goswami, hey Baba, like you offer me these dry chapatis, at least put some salt. This is too austere. You are Goswami. I am not Goswami. I am supposed to enjoy. You are giving me dry chapatis. And you don't even put salt. And Sanatan Goswami is chastising Madan Mohan, his deity. He is saying that today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask for more. So I am a very humble Goswami sannyasi. I cannot, you know. So this is raga. Raga means spontaneous attraction. Spontaneously, if Sanatan Goswami feels in this fashion, I want to serve Krishna, that attraction is coming from Krishna only. Because Krishna wants to be served in that fashion. Just like husband and wife. The husband wakes up in one day and the wife already knows that, oh, maybe, you know, yesterday he was talking something about upma. Maybe he has desire to eat upma. And the husband is getting ready and upma is ready. And the husband is like, wow, how did you know? But she's like, oh, no, I just got inspired. So that's raga bhakti. The husband only is giving the clue to the wife. And the wife is making, even without husband telling her what to make. So husband is so happy, like, wow, fresh upma is ready. And that was his desire. So that's the connection between Krishna and the devotee. The Krishna's heart becomes so tightly connected with devotee's heart that devotee automatically understands Krishna's desire, even without Krishna telling him. And in that fashion, raga is generated within the heart of the devotee. And immediately, devotee just jumps and starts making, you know, gulab jamun, chapatis, or sandesh. And, you know, like, some people are confused. Hey, today is not any special day. Why are you making these all big feasts? Oh, no, I just feel like it. And Krishna wants to eat that. That's why. So that's the connection between the raga. That's the raga bhakti. So we'll stop here for your time. So we'll continue discussion about this. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Hari.